Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
How many of you believe God has something good for you tonight? Now, I hooked up with the Apostle Peter. If the Holy Spirit, any time during the message, decides he wants to take it over, I always just let him have it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to preach long enough to let the Spirit of God have his way. That could be 5 minutes or 5 hours, but whatever. Hallelujah. Let's pray and we'll get into the Word. Father, we thank you now and praise you for the opportunity it is to hear the Word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for granting to us revelation knowledge that we might live in the truth. And Lord, we thank you that the very truth that we hear and receive works in our lives, setting us free, making us more like you. And so we bless you tonight. We thank you in advance for working with us and confirming your Word. And we'll give you all the glory, praise, and honor for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to invite you to look at a couple places. We're going to start in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8. And this really lays out the foundation of what I'm wanting to speak. It's just a very simple verse here. But it says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Amen. Notice that. He says the beginning of a thing is better than the ending of a thing. It's God's will for us to finish what we start. Amen. How many of you would agree that healing's better than believing for healing? Amen. It's a whole lot better to have the money to pay the bills than to believe God for the money to have to pay the bills. Praise God. How many of you found out the harvest is better than the seed? Glory to God, see? Because the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Thank God for the beginning. But the key to it is not just to be a beginner. The key to it is to be a finisher. And see, I believe we've gotten away from what the Lord's intent for us to do. And every one of us should be finishers. Every one of us shouldn't just be starters. We should be finishers. See, a lot of people look good in the beginning. You ever watched a race? Everybody gets up there. Man, they've got on their racing, clothes and their shoes they bought, and they shouldn't have, but anyway. And then all of them look like they're world beaters until after the first mile. Then it starts thinning out. And, if it's running a marathon, boy, it just keeps on thinning out. And, at the end, those who have trained and know what they're there for, they still look good. It's amazing. You watch some of these athletes, and they'll finish a marathon, and then they'll run around the place shouting and praise God. I'm going like, you just went 26 miles. What is wrong with you? But they knew what they were there for. They knew what it was all about. Notice he says the end of a thing, the end of what you're believing for, the end of your faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, the Lord Jesus said, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive them and what? You shall have them. What's the end result of your faith? You shall have them. The King James said, whatever things you desire. A lot of people start off with desires and we start off with asking and we become great askers, but we don't become real great finishers and receivers. I don't know about you, but whenever I got saved to be a finisher, not a beginner. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I got saved forever. Now I have to explain that. Some people say, what do you mean you got saved forever? I didn't get saved till the first obstacle. I didn't get saved till the first disappointment. I didn't get saved till the first time I felt bad. I didn't get saved till something went wrong. No, I've made up my mind, no matter what comes my way, I'm getting to heaven someday. I got saved to be with the Lord forever. And I'm going to live with Jesus forever. And nothing's going to stop me from getting to my finish line. Amen? And you have to make that decision. It's amazing. People come and they give their heart to the Lord, and the first thing goes wrong. They backslide and they blame God and get mad at God. Well, when I got saved and gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I'd had some problems with some preachers and some of these things. And the Lord spoke to him and he said this. He said, no TV preacher gave his life to you on the cross for you. So don't let any of them bother you. He said, Christians didn't give their life on the cross for you. So don't let them bother you. Churches didn't give their lives on the cross for you. They don't let them bother you. I'm the one that died for you. And until I let you down, don't you ever even think about walking away from me. And then he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never let you down. I'll always be with you. I'll get you through. I'll be your strength. I'll be your friend. I'll be your help. Whatever you need, I'm always going to be there. And you'll never have an excuse to fall away. And I've never had an excuse. So you've just got to make up your mind. Whenever I got into the ministry, I made up my mind. I was going to preach this gospel. The Lord called me into it. I can remember we were going to the Baptist church. I was a junior in college playing football, and the coach, the pastor, he was the chaplain of the football team. So we naturally went out there. Well, I was on fire for God, and so I'd go out and visit with him and visit absentees, and, you know, I was going to school playing ball, and then I just kept getting this unction. I need to preach. I kept getting this in me. And so finally one Sunday morning, I went forward, and Bonnie and I talked, and she was so thrilled. I was going to be a teacher and a coach. That's what I desired. I wanted to teach in school. I wanted to coach kids. I wanted to do all these things. That was my dream. That's what I'd built my life on. And I had some, you know, I was going to just be a great coach, praise God, and help these young guys develop character and work in their lives and stuff. And Bonnie was all for that. She was all excited about that. And she'd gone through school and she was gone. And when we got married, she said, I'm so glad you're going to do things like this, because one thing I never would want to be is a preacher's wife. Yeah. And the Lord's been dealing with me about preaching. So, I kind of hinted a little bit to her. And she said, oh, no, that's not you. And so, you know, one Sunday morning, the conviction's all over me, and I went forward to that little Baptist church, and I was standing up there, and all of a sudden, I thought, I should tell my wife before I do this. And so the pastor came up and said, what are you up here for there? I said, well, just to get closer to God. Hallelujah. I had to come up with something. Well, if I was going to yield to preach, I'd have to get closer to God, wouldn't I? Amen. So I wasn't telling him anything. And so I just stopped and I said, Lord, you need to speak to my wife, because if this is you, she needs to be a part of this with me. And, you know, it's pretty good for Baptists, but the Lord spoke to me right there at the altar and he said, open your eyes. And I looked and Bonnie was kneeling there at the altar. And I waited and she got up, she walked over and grabbed my hand. She said, whatever you want to do, I'm with you. Hallelujah. And God called us both. And you know what? We made the decision that we were going to do this the rest of our lives. Praise God. Amen. That was in April of 1976. Praise God. So I've been preaching this thing since April of 1976, from the Baptist church right into the charismatic, full gospel, word of faith, crazy, fanatic, rhema people. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're not going to slow down. We're not going to quit. Why? Because I haven't gotten to the end yet. Are you listening to me? I'm getting to the end, praise God. I'm not going to quit until I get to the end. Somebody said, Pastor, you're going to retire? I said, I got to deal with the Lord. When it finally comes time for me to go, I'm going to come up with some notes and I'm going to preach it. Then when I get done preaching it, then I'm going to go. Because it would be wrong for the Lord to let me study out a message and not let me have a chance to preach it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we got a deal. But you know, you got to set your mind. You got to set yourself, I'm going to get in on the end of this thing. My faith is going to get there where it needs. I'm going to have what I'm asking for. I'm going to get what I say. I'm going to get to where God called me to get to. You know, the Lord never did say, go out in the middle of the lake and drown in the storm. Every time he spoke to the disciples, what did he say? Go to the other side. He told them when they got in the boat to go to the other side, knowing full well that a storm was brewing and that they were going to run into trouble. And when the Lord spoke to you and told you to do some things for him, he knew well in advance what was going to be out there standing in your way, trying to discourage you, trying to stop you, trying to keep you from getting to the other side. He knew you were going to face problems, but he told you to go to the other side. And he said, when you get there, it's going to be a whole lot better than it was when you first started. Hallelujah. Because now you're going to look back and you're going to say, that storm was bad, but God was greater. That thing was tough to get through, but it showed me that I can trust God in every situation. And when you get to the other side, your faith is stronger. Your resolve is stronger. Your confidence is stronger. And now, blessed be God, you got a notch on your sword that says, I fought a good fight and God has shown me he is well able to get me to the other side. Come on, church. Now notice he goes on and he says this. He says, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. That word patient, the Hebrew means, it means long suffering and slow to anger. You know what God's saying? If you're going to get to the end, you're going to have some long suffering. In other words, you're not going to be easily provoked. You're not going to get easily frustrated. You're not going to easily become discouraged. You're not going to wear your feelings out here on the sleeve where everybody can smack them around. But you're going to be steady. You're going to be persevering. You're going to keep your eyes on the finish. You're going to keep your eyes on what God called you to do. And it doesn't matter what everybody else around you is saying. You're going to stay focused. I'm long suffering. It don't have to happen now. It's going to happen, but it don't have to happen now. And I don't care what you say. It's going to happen because God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm going to the other side. Come on. Then he says he's better than the proud. The word proud there means lofty and high-minded. What's that mean? All talk and no walk. God is not looking for people that are talking a good game. He's looking for people that will walk a good game, who will play a good game, who will get out there and fight and battle, praise God. Whenever I played sports, there were several times when we were playing football games and we would be out there and we came down, we were playing this one game and it was raining and we were up by 3 points and our offense fumbled the ball on their 10-yard line. And so we go out there and there's like a 40 seconds to go and they got the ball first and goal. And I want to tell you what, the defense had to go out there and stand its ground. And I can remember it was fourth down there on the 3. They rolled out and threw it back, and I hit this guy. He caught the ball, and I hit him, and he was running over top of me. And I was hanging on. And I was yelling, help! And about that time, one of our big linebackers came blowing through there and tore his head off and stopped him on the 2, and we won the game. But we had to stay steady. We had to stay strong. We had to stay there all the way to the end to win. Are you listening to me? And what you and I are going to have to do is this. I took a phrase and I said that I'm in it to win it, praise God. Are you listening to me? I'm in it to get healed. I'm in it to get blessed. I'm in it to be an overcomer. I'm in it to get where God said I can be. I'm in it to do what God said I can do. I'm in it to see God work in my life like he said he would work in my life. Are you hearing me? And I'm not going to let anything discourage me, frustrate me, or keep me from doing what the Lord has called me to do.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link, This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.